You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. Early last month, we brought you the story of a hearing in federal court about a trail connecting Stanley with Redfish Lake. The Idaho Conservation League filed a friend of the court brief in support of the Forest Service Trail, and the ICL was on Idaho Matters to talk about it. David Boren filed that lawsuit on the 4 Mile hiking and biking trail. He is the owner of the Sawtooth Valley Ranch, where some of the trail will be built. He says the plan has flaws and there was no study on the trail's environmental impacts. Judge Candy Dell denied a preliminary injunction request from Boren, which clears the way for the Forest Service to start construction. We made a promise that we would have David on the program once there was some type of decision in the case. He is joining us live in studio today to talk more. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Gemma.
So first, David, just tell us about the Sawtooth Valley Ranch. Where is it? You know, what's it like?
So the ranch is right next to Stanley, and it's in a beautiful area. Anyone who's been to Stanley, I think, appreciates the natural beauty of the area. And I've been going up there every year of my life, and mm-hmm. we just love the area. So we're excited to be on that ranch and be part of that community.
So where will the trail then be built? Give people an idea, because part of it will be built on the ranch, yes?
Yes. So most of the trail basically connects... It's not Redfish Lake. It connects the road that goes to Redfish Lake.
Okay.
With,
so it makes it easier to get to Redfish Lake
yes.
because it makes that connection.
And the other end terminates up on the hill just outside of Stanley up by the airport.
Okay.
So that's the trail. And about the first 3 miles of the trail is near the highway, say within 150 yards of the highway, kind of along that corridor. And then the 1.5 miles on the north goes through our ranch. And it leaves the highway and goes up on the hill and goes on the other side of the airport and then ends up on the top of that hill near Stanley.
So when did you find out that the Forest Service had plans to build this trail?
So we've known all along that there were plans for a trail because there's an easement that allows for the public to use this corridor as a trail. Mm. And in fact, I've used the trail probably for the last dozen years before owning the ranch. Many times for snowmobile activities with family and friends and even business associates.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a beautiful trail. I think anyone who's been on it will appreciate that. So it's been used as a trail for a long time. The surprise for us was to realize the Forest Service had kind of more ambitious plans than we previously knew and basically wanted to build what is kind of equivalent to a road. It's about 6.5 feet wide, 6 inches of elevated gravel surface that's added to the natural landscape and filled in over the wetlands. And so that's where we started to think, that's a little bit more than should be appropriate for that area.
So if I'm understanding this, it doesn't necessarily sound like you're opposed to some type of trail because there is a trail there. You've used the trail. It's a matter of, do we need this trail to be widened and is there an impact when you do that? Am I understanding that?
You're exactly right. Actually, I support the trail, and as you mentioned, I've enjoyed the trail for many years before owning the ranch, and now I see other people enjoying it, and I really like that also. That's all great, but that's as a trail, not as a kind of a road or a big kind of commuter path like the Greenbelt. The Forest Service has talked about it as part of the mass transit plan for Stanley, which just that language seems a little odd to me. But especially in a beautiful area with natural wetlands and just unbelievable scenic beauty, it doesn't make sense to me to have a road up through those wetlands. And so what I've been talking to them about is if you want to have a commuter path, that should go not just for the first 3 miles by the highway, but the entire 4.5 miles should be by the highway. People will see it. It will be safe to use. The best publicity for it is to be able to see other people enjoying the use of it. But this first 1.5 miles they want to put up over the hill on the other side of the airport where people don't see it. And that's not the biggest problem. The biggest problem is it goes through an actively used cattle field where there are probably, depending on the year, between 500 and 1,000 head of cattle in the same field as people. And they're also bulls. The original plan that people use it for snowmobiles, no problem, no cattle in the winter, right? And then mountain biking, also not that big of a problem because bikes are pretty fast. But now they want it to be an ADA accessible trail, so wheelchairs, strollers. I wouldn't take my grandkids on the trail. It's just not safe to be in the same field as cattle. You could be up to, you know, a few hundred yards away from the fence and trying to outrun an angry bull who's chasing your dog with a stroller or a wheelchair. That doesn't make sense. So I'm trying to tell them, let's have a safe trail that the public could actually use. and not just kind of check the box, oh, yeah, we built a trail, but now no one wants to use it because it's not safe and it's hard to maintain. The maintenance problem is an issue because the trail goes through elk calving grounds. So that's an environmental issue, but it's also a maintenance issue because the elk will be there in the spring and that chews up the trail and you'll have to maintain it. And there are other issues which you wouldn't have down by the road. The elk obviously don't want to calve right by the road.
I'm speaking with David Boren. He's the owner of the Sawtooth Valley Ranch. We're talking about the proposed a proposed trail in Stanley that would connect Stanley to a road that would get you to Redfish Lake area. And David is the individual that did file a lawsuit. So when you did file this, I mean, you knew going into this that trying to get an injunction in place against a governmental agency can be tough.
Yeah, you've heard the phrase, hard to fight City Hall.
Right.
Federal government may be bigger than City Hall.
Just a tad.
And the problem is they get momentum. So this idea has some merit. It's a great idea to have a trail between Redfish and Stanley. It's just an even better idea to make it safe, maintainable, and environmentally friendly, where you're not destroying wetlands, you're not destroying sandhill crane nesting areas or elk calving areas. And so that's all we're trying to do is say, let's build this trail. We want to be helpful in it. We're willing to even help them do things differently and even give them additional easements to put the trail in the right spot. But it just should be safe so people can actually use it once it's built. And it should be something that's maintainable so it's usable by people for a long time, not just, hey, here's the trail, and then next year all of a sudden it's not in good enough shape to use.
And you also mentioned that maybe doing some studies about the trail, and especially when you talk about things like the elk calving area or any type of wetlands. Kind of surprising that maybe there hasn't been any studies done so far.
Right. So it's actually seems very strange to me because if you or I tried to build anything through a wetlands, we would, of course, have to have an environmental impact statement. The Forest Service is able to also, in some cases, say, well, it's not, we're pretty sure it's not a problem, so we're going to skip the environmental impact statement and do an environmental assessment, which is less rigorous. In this case, they didn't do either. They used a technicality they call a categorical exclusion, where they just say, we don't think there's any issue, so we're not going to do a study. And so our point in the lawsuit is that's not the biggest issue. The biggest issue is just public safety. Make the trail, put the trail where it's safe. That's the biggest issue. But really, we also love the environment and love the scenic beauty up there and want to be protectors of it and always assume the Forest Service would also be protectors of it. But that means let's do an environmental impact statement so we know what we're protecting, not just say, no, we're going to do an exclusion and this exception process where we short-circuit all of that and skip the analysis.
You know, the town of Stanley, as everyone knows, it's small. It's a small community. Yeah. What is the talk around town about this trail and what is going on with it?
So the talk around town, I think people are generally pretty supportive as we are. Say it'd be great to have another connection to Redfish Lake that you wouldn't have to drive a car, right? So a better trail connection would be great. If you ever say, well, okay, so the first question, should we have a trail? The answer is generally going to be yes.
Okay.
Probably
and
80%
you're in that
plus.
We're
in that category too. I think most people are. But the next question is, okay, if we're going to have a trail, should it be by the road or should it be up through the wetlands and the hills? And people say, well, duh, put it by the road. That's where people would see it and use it, right? If you go one step further and say, is it okay to have the trail in the same field as the cattle are in? Then people are going, no, that doesn't make any sense at all, right? And if you say, well, should it be off-leash or on-leash for dogs, you'll get mixed reviews. But if you say, well, there are cattle in the field, oh, well, yeah, then of course you should have your dogs on the leash because if you have them off-leash, then the dogs will chase the cows. The cows are used to some predation from wolves, so they end up bunching up and then chasing the dogs who go back to their owners and lead the cows right back to the people. So that's a disaster, right? And so when you talk about the specifics of how to build it, I think people really, it really resonates with people. Oh, yeah, let's build a safe, maintainable, environmentally friendly trail, which the current proposal is not. Anyway, that's what we're trying to do is say, everybody supports a trail. Let's make it a good one. Let's make it a safe one that people will use.
And so at this point, the Forest Service, if I'm understanding this, can start construction.
Strangely enough, they can start. The lawsuit is still in progress, and the lawsuit is over whether they have the right to build the trail there, which that's in question also. It's hard to get an injunction against the federal government, and so we lost that. So they actually can start building before the question is settled whether they have the right to do it.
So they can build, they can start building this trail, even though the lawsuit is moving forward.
Yes.
So sometimes lawsuits take time. Could this trail potentially be built before the lawsuit comes to a conclusion?
Yes, and then the remedy would be either the Forest Service would have to pay, if they lose, they would have to pay for the damages they've caused. But for the environmental damages, some of those can't really be prepared. When you fill, when you fill wetlands in with gravel, that's really hard to undo. And so it'd be really expensive for them to have to undo it later. But that's why we were trying to say, you know what, why don't you just wait until it's decided before you start? But they're pretty anxious to do it. They have the funding and they have the momentum. So I think part of the strategy might be just, we have momentum, let's just do it and then maybe ask forgiveness later.
Yeah, fingers crossed, right?
Right.
It works
right.
out. So at this point, so have they started construction?
Because they have not.
Oh, they have not.
No. So part of the project is to decommission a road that goes to another trailhead. And that's part of this project. They've started that, which interestingly is because they don't have the money to maintain that road. But they're building this new road, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which they also won't have the money to maintain. But anyway, so they haven't actually started trail construction on either the part on our property or the other end. And really what we're asking for at this stage is, why don't you start the construction from the other end so that we can
work. So the part that you know for sure next to the road will not
change
at all.
We agree that's the best route. We're just saying that same concept applies to the first mile and a half.
Mm-hmm.
Make it where it's visible and usable and safe, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we're saying build the part that's safe now and let's either work together and we can skip the lawsuit because we can work together and find a plan that's safe. Or if you are totally stuck on this plan that's not safe, continue with the lawsuit. And then once that's resolved, hopefully then you'll build the one that's safe.
What kind of support do you have for this? Because and I ask this since you have, you know, the Idaho Conservation League filing a friend of the court brief. So it's in support of the Forest Service Trail.
Yeah, and in terms of support, I have not been very public about this.
Mm-hmm.
And on the advice of attorneys, this is really the first time I've been willing to talk about it because the preliminary injunction hadn't been decided earlier.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to say no to all requests. But now I'm happy to talk to people. And everyone I've talked to has said, yeah, trail's a great idea. But of course we should build it where it's safe, where it'll be noticed and used, and where it can be maintained more easily. And also, if we can build a better trail that's safe and also have it be so it has a lot less environmental impact, so we don't disturb the sandhill crane nesting areas, we don't disturb the elk calving areas, let's do that. The original plan for the Forest Service on the part not on our property went closer to the mountains, and they moved that for two reasons, closer to the highway. One reason was easier to maintain. The other reason was because it disturbed elk calving areas.
Mm.
Same thing applies on our property.
Mm-hmm.
But part of the argument in court was, well, they don't have to be concerned about wetlands on private property because their stewardship is only for the public property. But my point is, if you're a sandhill crane, you don't really know where the boundary is.
Well, but if you were a steward of the land.
Exactly.
A steward of the land.
Yes, that's how it should be. We should all be stewards of the land. You and I should be concerned about being better stewards when we're on public land, but the Forest Service should also be a good steward of public and private land.
What's interesting to me, too, about this is that you get so many people from outside of the area that come to Stanley. It is a beautiful area, very popular tourist destination. People that don't spend a lot of time in areas with cows and bulls and elk, they would not know that maybe part of this trail as proposed, that you might be, you know, walking with, you know, next to a cow or something like that. And that doesn't sound like that big of a deal, but it could be.
You know, you bring up an excellent point because I think people assume the trail is safe. The public's invited onto the trail, so there's a presumption that it's safe to go there.
Absolutely.
And if the first clue you have that it's not safe is when 350 cattle are chasing your dog back to you, and your dog doesn't stop at you. It runs past you so you can protect it. Oh, that's a really bad surprise for someone who doesn't expect to be in the same field as cattle and doesn't know what to do. And we're saying that's reckless endangerment.
Mm-hmm.
The Forest Service should not put people in that position. They should build the trail so it's safe. There's another just convenience aspect, too. If they put the trail where it's safe, you don't need any gates. But because it goes through the cattle field and then back onto Forest Service land and then back into the cattle field and then back on Forest Service land and then back into the cattle field, you have to have six gates in the first mile and a half.
So would people then have to be
responsible? They have to open and shut six gates. Yeah. And first, will they be responsible?
People are going to keep those gates open.
That's one issue, but also it's a hassle. Do you want to just ride your bike and enjoy the flow of the trail, or do you want to get off every quarter mile to get to open and close another gate?
So what happens next within the court case itself?
So the court case is still progressing, and the Forest Service asked for more time to file their response, and so we granted them more time. So I don't really understand how time proceeds in court cases.
Right. It's all that legal talk, right?
Right. But in addition, on the side, I still have a dialogue with the Forest Service, and I'm hoping that if the court case kind of heats up, that maybe applies some pressure to them so that they can actually have a reasonable discussion. Mm-hmm. Right now, the attitude is kind of, we're the government, you're the little guy, we're going to do what we want, even though there might be a better plan available. We got momentum on this. We have the funding for this. Let's just do it while we have it. My point is, why waste $2.4 million on something that's not going to be safe or used when you could take the same amount of money and have a much better trail that will be an asset to the community for many years to come? That's what we should have.
I want to thank you so much for coming in and explaining your side, and I think giving us a little bit more education on what's going on with this. So
I
appreciate that. Our guest today, David Boren, he is the owner of the Sawtooth Valley Ranch. We've been talking today about the proposed Stanley to Redfish Trail, currently in the middle of a court case with that. Thank you again for your time.
And thanks for having me.
Up next, we take a look at Mustang Mania. I'm Gemma Gaudet. You're listening to Idaho Matters.